Hello there and good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek, once again coming to you live from Fargo, North Dakota, where I'm leading a parish mission. We've got a great show for you today. Let's kick it off in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we come to you, we acknowledge the fact that we are in your presence this morning. Sometimes we can tend to forget that, but right now we realize that you are watching over us, that you love us, and that you are standing by, ready to help us with anything we face today. With that in mind, Father, we ask for your help. We ask you to strengthen us. We ask you to give us the words to be able to deal with any person that we meet. Give us the inspiration to do whatever it is that you want us to do today in every situation that we encounter. Father, we lift up our problems, our troubles. We bring to you the problems of the world. We ask for you to bring about peace in the world. We lift up our government leaders as well. And Father, we ask you to speak through us on the program today. Give us the words and open all of our minds and hearts so that we can be receptive to your message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. On the program today, we're going to be joined by, once again, by Dr. John Bergsma from Franciscan University in Steubenville, and we're going to continue our look at Abraham in the book of Genesis. Now, specifically, we're going to talk about some pretty controversial things that happened in the life of Abraham and how we can apply those things, that the lessons learned there, to our own lives. Also, we'll be joined by Megan Coakley from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. She is the director of the Office of New Evangelization, and she's going to fill us in on some of the happenings in the some of the new evangelization happenings in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And without further ado, I'm going to give a shout out to my brother on this day, this very special day, our anniversary, Mr. Dave Parker.
Hey,
man,
Gary.
What's up?
Hey, how are you, brother? Happy anniversary.
One year anniversary.
Yes.
Isn't it? And Dave,
yes.
There's so much about you I still don't know. I can't wait to get back to town to continue exploring our relationship.
I was going to say, in your opening prayer, it was beautiful. And you said, Jesus, give us the words. And I was thinking, give us the words to go into our second year and have another successful second year. It was a beautiful prayer, Gary.
Thanks, Dave. You know, it just is hard to believe that it's been a year already.
I know.
And when I think about the number of guests that we've had on this show, it's just incredible how the Lord has brought these people to us.
Yes.
And spoken not only to our listeners, but to us. I mean,
absolutely.
I've learned so much by the guests we've had on the show.
Oh, I have too. How about you, Frank?
It's only been a year.
Frank! Oh, it's so good that we can all be together, the three of us. You know, Dave, it's just not the same when Frank's not here.
I know. Right?
I just couldn't help it.
Yeah.
Every time he speaks, I just feel the love. Yeah. You know? I really do.
I just feel it, man.
Dave, do me a favor. Take a close look at Frank, but go easy. Don't look too close. But let me ask you, since I'm not there in the studio, are there some tears in his eyes on this, our first anniversary?
Yes, there's some moistening of the eyes, you know.
You know, there's love for you guys. And I just think back to what it was like a year ago and what's going on over the year. You know, the fumbling over headphones, the
cords getting twisted in the wheels of the chair.
That's right.
Around the legs.
The changes that we made in technology while you're out for a day.
Yeah,
that's true. Or while we're on the air, Frank. Right, we're on the air and you're making changes.
That's right. Truthfully, a year ago you couldn't have done what you're doing right now and broadcast from Fargo. So a lot has gone on over the course of this past year, and a lot of it, is this what I think is great maturing that we've had at the station with the show. Mm-hmm. I think the show has really matured into this means of bringing new people into the faith, and that was never part of our goal. And, but at the same time, I think it's been a huge part to this show. You know, this Absolutely. This aspect of going through the dial and hearing something you don't expect and then getting caught and then starting to listen beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I've heard numerous stories like that from people that came in because of this show. Mm-hmm. So you're bringing people to faith that may not have originally planned to be, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. this was not where they're headed.
Absolutely.
Right.
And
right.
so, you know, I think there's a lot of beauty to what this show is about. And I think that, you know, your work and the two of you together represent a really great camaraderie mm-hmm. That makes for a really great listenership.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you for saying that. And, you know, Frank, you're a big part of this, too.
I was just going to say that, Gare. Yes. Frank, you're an integral part of the team. You know,
and a lot of people don't realize. Like, you know, what was it, a year ago? I think it was a few days before the show. We got together. It's the first yeah. time we ever met.
That's exactly right.
Like, who's this Frank guy?
You wrote a lot about him. Who is he?
Yeah. yeah,
you know, and
all good though.
All good, and, yeah. and you know, a lot of people don't realize I've been involved in the station for 18 plus years because of Dale and Jane being my father and mother-in-law. You know, but at the same time, wasn't as you know integral. As I am now, and my wife obviously is as well, mm-hmm. and so yeah. you know that being you know part of it was like this whole new thing coming in, and what's this all feel like? Mm-hmm. And it feels good,
yeah, it does.
Right?
Yeah.
It feels natural. Yep. Mm-hmm. It feels like, hey, this is what we should be doing.
This is where we all should be.
Yeah, there's
exactly.
a reason for it. We don't
exactly.
always know the reason,
right?
You know, I joke about it, like you know, yeah. as I said before on the air, I think. You know, God's up there looking, going, let's throw this at him and see what he does now. Yeah, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think there's a reason why we're all together.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. And it's amazing. You look back, guys, and I look back. I placed myself back a year ago. I never could have envisioned where this show would end up. I mean, seriously, I never pictured we would get the guests that we got.
Mm-hmm.
I never pictured that we would do some of the things that we do. That's good and bad. I mean, some of the things that we did, I, you know, not necessarily good things, but yeah. in all seriousness, we are touching people in ways that it's pretty astounding. Sometimes mm-hmm. I just sit back and I get these emails and I talk to people and it just, I have to look at the Lord and say, wow, Lord, good work. I mm-hmm. mean, I can't believe you're doing this.
Exactly. I was going to say, and as part of the laity, because,
right.
you know, I mean, we are doing a lot of in the realm of evangelization through Holy Spirit Radio, and that's the whole mission of it for the low these 18 little plus years now. So, I mean, but we're laity, but bringing it to our brothers and sisters who are in the faith, who may be wavering in the faith, or maybe who have fallen away. And we want to bring you back. You know, God wants
exactly.
you back. So he's
exactly.
using us, me, Dave Parker, a weak vessel, you know, to help you know, accomplish that. So,
and if you would have talked to me a year ago or a year and a half ago, I wouldn't have told you that I would ever consider going into the, like the diaconate. Well, I've been you know deeply considering it, and
mm-hmm.
so
whoa.
You know these are things that we move each other. We move, you know, we start to see new ways and new ideas of what this is all about and mm-hmm. how you know our words have impact on people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Yeah, it's amazing to.
Hey, how does
it's
that?
Amazing.
Yeah, excuse me. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you, brother.
No, go
but
ahead.
How does that sound, Deacon Frank Elias?
Yeah, and I, Frank, well, I did not know that. That's fantastic.
Well,
that's fantastic.
We'll see where that goes.
Trying to.
I'll say I did go to the meeting and went. Oh, maybe not this year.
Well, you know that's. It's a process, Frank.
It is.
He's going to lead you.
Exactly. And you know, and then there's Deacon Billy Eliason, who is a relative, but he's always been involved in the station. Mm-hmm. And funny thing is, I've never met him, don't know him.
I don't know, I don't think I knew that.
Oh, there's a little note out here from him that hangs on the bulletin board.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I've seen that note, and I wondered who he was.
Yeah, he called one day to get an announcement, and he got me. Like, hey, are we related?
Oh, that is
wow.
too funny.
Yeah.
And so,
wow.
yes, he is... long out there, but you know that became an inspiration. That came uh-huh. out when we had that conversation. So at a time where it was like, should I be doing this? And then that conversation, I'm like, well, maybe I should.
Yeah.
You know, awesome. So you know, these are things though that you know all of us get driven by a lot of different things, and you know you have to take into consideration what is going on in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've watched the world really get really divided, mm-hmm. and I think that we've added a sense of balance to it in some
mm-hmm,
ways,
mm-hmm.
you know, and giving people hope and drive mm-hmm. Towards that. And I think that actually has to do with both of you and your own perspectives, and being able to bring that and bridge mm-hmm. a lot of these, you know, complicated conversations
Absolutely.
In a loving way.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's the key, Frank. That is the key. It can be challenging sometimes because a lot of us are pretty strong-willed and we want to win arguments. But if you're working for the Lord, if you're going to do His will, you've got to realize that, mm-hmm. that's not going to work. We've got to yield to Him and realize that He loves everybody, including the person that we can't stand. And we've got to reach out to that person mm-hmm. as well. Right? I mean, that's... Mm-hmm. And it can
well
be tough
said.
At times.
Well said.
It can be tough. Hey, I want to read the gospel before I forget. This is one of my favorite gospels. It comes today from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And I think there's a great message in here for us in this day and age. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." Mm. What Martha was doing was not bad. She was serving Jesus. She was waiting on him. This was a good thing. But what we can tell by looking at the Lord's words is that Martha forgot why she was doing what she was doing, and she became anxious and worried. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, Mary is sitting, listening to Jesus, recognizing that he's in her presence.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. And that's a reminder,
Very
I think,
powerful.
For all of us. We've got to make that time for the Lord every day.
Mm-hmm.
We can rush around. We've got things to do, but we can't neglect our relationship with Jesus. We have to speak to him.
Mm-hmm. We have to be both. I mean...
Exactly, Dave.
Yeah. We have to be and do. You know, we have to listen and observe and follow the Lord, but then go out and do His.
I think the doing
it
part
is
sometimes the hard part, especially in this world that we're in. Mm-hmm. But I also think that we don't necessarily have a true relationship with Jesus. I think you know, ultimately, what do? We say our prayers,
mm-hmm.
Very structured. We don't have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And Frank, that's one of the things that's important to me, and we're working on that with this show. We're helping you to have a closer relationship with Jesus. That's why we're here. And when we come back, Dr. John Bergsma is going to join us. We're going to be talking about Abraham. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for October 10th. Today we celebrate St. Francis Borgia. Today's saint grew up in an important family in 16th century Spain, serving in the imperial court and quickly advancing in his career. But a series of events, including the death of his beloved wife, made Francis Borgia rethink his priorities. He gave up public life, gave away his possessions, and joined the new and little-known Society of Jesus. Religious life proved to be the right choice for Francis, who was drawn to spend time in seclusion and prayer. Administrative talents also made him a natural for other tasks. He helped in the establishment of what is now the Gregorian University in Rome. Not long after his ordination, he served as political and spiritual advisor to the emperor. In Spain, he founded a dozen colleges. At 55, Francis was elected head of the Jesuits. He focused on the growth of the Society of Jesus, the spiritual preparation of its new members, and spreading the faith in many parts of Europe. He was responsible for the founding of Jesuit missions in Florida, Mexico, and Peru. Francis Borgia is often regarded as the second founder of the Jesuits. He died in 1572 and was canonized 100 years later. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
It's a good morning spelled with a Z. You're on Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
When I met
back to Spirit of the Morning. That was Britt Nicole with All This Time. Lord, you've been walking with me all this time. How many times have we gone through problems and difficulties in our lives thinking that the Lord's not with us? And then at some point we come to the realization that, hey, he was with me all this time. Think about that today. Whatever you're going through, he is right by your side. The time right now is 7:18, and we are joined once again by Dr. John Bergsma. He's a professor of theology at Franciscan University in Steubenville, and he's the author of several books, including Bible Basics for Catholics and New Testament Basics for Catholics. We are continuing our look at the life of Abraham. Last time we talked about Abraham's encounter with Melchizedek, and now today we're going to continue the story. Dr. Bergsma, good morning.
Hey, Gary. Great to be with you, man.
Always excited when you can join us, my friend. All right. Now, last time we talked about the encounter of Abraham with Melchizedek. Today, Abraham went to the Lord. Well, first the Lord came to Abraham and said, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your reward will be very great." The same story that he's been telling him all along. And Abram said to the Lord, "Wait a minute, I still don't have any children. You tell me I'm going to be the father of many children, have many descendants. I'm not getting any younger. What's going on?" So he's questioning the Lord, and John, how does the Lord respond to that question?
Yeah, in a couple of different ways, Gary, but you know, first, you know, Abraham complains, "Hey, you know, my chief servant is going to be my heir
because you
never gave me a son." And, and God says, "Okay, look, that's not the way it's going to be. Go outside, look at the stars. If you can count the stars, you can you'd be able to count all your descendants that I'm going to give you." And it's kind of remarkable, but one of the most famous verses in the Bible is, you well know, Gary, Genesis 15:6. It says that after looking up at the heavens, Abraham believed God, and God looked upon that as an act of righteousness on Abraham's part. And Abraham sets us this example of faith to take God at his word.
Exactly, and I think it's fascinating, and I think it in some way it's comforting to look at what happened here. And Abram, he asked a question, like, "What's happening? I don't see the results." And God said, "Well, here, let me show you. Let me give you an example. It's coming." But he didn't deliver at that point. He didn't say, "Well, your wife Sarah is now pregnant." But yet Abraham was able to trust.
Yes, he was. And that's, you know, the church fathers always saw in Abraham kind of the model of every believer, everyone who follows the God of Israel. There's so many points in Abraham's life where he has to act just on the basis of a divine promise without seeing the reality yet, and this is yet another example.
Yeah, okay, and at this point, in verse 7, chapter 15, verse 7, it's verse 8, Abraham, after acknowledging that, "Okay, I trust you, Lord," he says to the Lord, "How am I to know that I shall possess this land?" So he asks him a question, and the Lord answers in sort of a bizarre way. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's kind of unusual. It's a weird answer.
It's a strange ritual that happens. You know, Abraham believes God with the promise of descendants, but then God goes on to talk about land and says, you know, this whole area is going to be your land for your descendants. And Abraham says, "Well, how do I know I'm going to get this land?" And then God comes back and says, "Well, take a bunch of animals and cut them in half and lay the pieces side by side on the ground." So Abraham does this, and then night falls, and Abraham falls into a deep sleep. And in the night, a burning torch and a fire pot, kind of like the thurible that we use in Mass, you know, this burning pot and this torch appear, which is a symbol of God's presence, or a sign, like an apparition of God's presence, moves through the pieces of the animal while God speaks to Abraham and promises him that his descendants are going to get the land. And truly, Gary, it is weird. I mean, when I first encountered it when I was a kid, I'm like, "What is this doing in the Bible?"
Exactly.
So strange. Yes. You know, right. The only thing, when I was a kid, the only thing I could think of was like, you know, Huckleberry Finn, you know, he has this cure for warts where you swing a dead cat around your head in the graveyard by midnight.
Exactly.
I was like, this sounds like Mark Twain, you know, what is this doing in the Bible? But Gary, this is actually a covenant-making ritual that God is performing with Abraham, and it had a specific meaning in the ancient world. When God moved between the pieces of the animal, what he was saying was, "If I don't keep my commitments, may I die like these animals through whose pieces I'm walking."
Wow.
And that's a great mystery. Like, you know, God was actually condescending, or what we say, coming down to go through a human ritual just to assure Abraham of his seriousness in these promises.
I would assume Abraham would have understood what was happening at this point. He would recognize how important this covenant is.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. We have other ancient texts, Gary, with very similar rituals going on in the ancient world when people wanted to affirm a covenant between them. You know, a covenant is a family bond where you enter into a kinship relationship, a sacred bond, and it usually has, you know, promises and blessings and also requirements attached. So Abraham would have recognized exactly what God was saying by participating in this ritual.
Okay, so now we have this covenant. Now, in chapter 16, we have about 4 minutes left. I'm hoping we could touch on this, because now it gets really strange. Because, and John, this is very confusing to me at times, because God expects us, and throughout salvation history, we look at examples where it's pretty clear that he expects us to do something. He's going to help us. He's going to do the bulk of the work, but he expects us to use our brains to try to, you know, to help to bring about his plan in our lives. Yeah. Abraham and Sarah come up with this idea. Kind of a bizarre idea when we look at it. Could you briefly touch on it?
Sure. So God has made these promises. Okay, great. So we just got to wait for them to be fulfilled. But in the following chapter, Abraham and Sarah get a little impatient. They're like,
"Yep,
okay, we're still not, you know, having a baby. Maybe God wants us to take matters into our own hands." So they take Hagar, who is a maidservant of Sarah, and they say, okay, she's going to become Abraham's second wife, what we call a concubine, and maybe she'll be able to conceive, and then legally the baby will be considered Sarah's. That's how legal practice was back in those days. And so we'll kind of get a baby that way. It's kind of like having recourse to artificial reproductive technology, you know?
right.
The natural way. So we're gonna use some technology to try to get this to happen. But it backfires in a big way, Gary, and we see this throughout the Old Testament. People say, oh, you know, polygamy was okay in the Old Testament. Not really. You go back and look at all the instances where people took more than one wife, and it never turns out well. You know, and the sacred author is trying to tell us something by that. Anyway, in this case, what happens is Hagar conceives a child, Ishmael. But then Sarah and Hagar have a predictable falling out about this, and the peace of the home is just completely destroyed.
Wow.
In this situation, it's really rather unfortunate.
Yeah, and I might want to touch on this just a little bit more the next time you're with us, but just to sum things up in the maybe a minute and a half we have left, sometimes would you say that we try to take matters into our own hands because we become impatient waiting for the Lord, and in reality what he wants us to do at that moment in time is to trust him. Would you agree that that's what's happening here?
I agree, and we're always tempted to take shortcuts. You know, sin is almost, you can almost define sin as a shortcut to the blessings that we want. And here they fall for a shortcut, not clearly obviously wrong, but that's often the case. You know, the waters are often muddy in our lives, and we want to do a fudge factor. You know, we have a little bit of qualms, and we're like, well, it's not clearly obviously wrong, you know. But we know that we're not acting by faith. And that can be a guide. Sometimes sin can also be defined as not acting in faith, this was a problem here for Abraham and Sarah.
Good stuff, John. I really appreciate you joining us. I think there's so much we can learn from Scripture and when we apply it to our own lives. Can you remind us where we could find you online?
Sure, CatholicBibleTeacher.com will get you to me, and Bible Basics for Catholics, Ave Maria Press. You can find that their website or the other online booksellers that are out there.
All right, my friend, thank you again, and I look forward to our next visit.
You bet. Talk to you then.
All right, God bless you. Dr. John Bergsma, man, that was really good stuff, and that's a big challenge for us. Sometimes we try to figure out what God wants us to do, and we do things that might be pushing him a little bit. This is an example of that. Continue to stay close to the Lord, and he will guide you in your life. When we come back, Megan Coakley will join us.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. A relentless onslaught of wildfires in Northern California is ravaging wineries, rural towns, and entire neighborhoods. Authorities say at least 10 are dead and at least 100 are injured, and at least 1,500 homes and businesses have been destroyed. All three figures are expected to surge in the coming days as more information is reported. Washington State says it is suing President Donald Trump over his decision to let more employers claiming religious or moral objections opt out of no-cost birth control for women. State Attorney General Bob Ferguson, who successfully sued to block Trump's initial travel ban earlier this year, announced his latest lawsuit yesterday, just 3 days after the new HHS mandate rules were issued. Ferguson claims the administration's actions violate the First Amendment because it requires individuals to bear the burden of religions to which they don't belong, and the equal protection requirements of the Fifth Amendment because it applies to women, but not men. More than a week later, investigators are still stumped about why a high-stakes gambler killed 58 people and wounded hundreds of others at a country music concert. It's an answer they may never find. The FBI and Las Vegas police have sorted through more than 1,000 leads and examined Stephen Paddock's politics, finances, and behavior. But the typical investigative avenues that have helped uncover the motive in past shootings have yielded few clues so far. And a small Arkansas church has been named in honor of a martyred priest from Oklahoma. The Oklahoman reports the Catholic Church in Decatur has been dedicated as a mission and named Blessed Stanley Rother Catholic Church. Bishop Anthony Taylor, bishop of the Diocese of Little Rock, says the church is the first in the world named for Blessed Stanley. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
A quote from St. Therese of Lisieux: "No one can make me frightened anymore, because I know what to believe about his mercy and his love. I know that in the twinkling of an eye, all those thousands of sins would be consumed as a drop of water cast into a blazing fire."
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Andrew Shumway's mom says he's a people person despite being confined to a wheelchair due to cerebral palsy. So it wasn't a surprise that the 14-year-old from Toma, Wisconsin, befriended 19-year-old Brittany Clock of Iowa when they were stranded at an airport. Brittany has a brother with autism, so she was sensitive to Andrew's situation. And when he asked her to attend a special need dance in Toma, she agreed, even though it was being held the same day as her prom at Kemper Catholic High School. Brittany and her mom made the 5-hour drive to Wisconsin, and Brittany told Good Morning America, "This is about Andrew and opportunities for kids with special needs. They have the biggest heart and can put a smile on people's faces." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Tipping our coffee mugs in a salute to a God-centered day. You're listening to Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
Well, I called your name a long time ago, and you sprung a well from a heart of stone. But I was careful then what I let you see. Only thought you wanted the best of me. The less I trust you, the less I grow. The more you love me, the more I know. I don't have to be afraid to show all of me, all of me. Where this hurt, you show me what healing can do. Where this hatred, you show me how kindness can move. Where this fear deep inside, I won't run, I won't hide. I'll give you all of me so that you can see every broken piece and open up my heart. Gonna let you in, all the way to the scars beneath my skin. You don't look away cause you understand, and you hold my heart with a gentle hand. Oh, where this hurting, you show me what healing can do. Where this hatred, you show peace and open up my heart. The less I trust you, the less I grow. The more you love me, the more I know. I don't have to be afraid to show all of me, where there's hurting, oh, where there's sorrow and shame. Enter into the pain, where there's hurting, you show me what healing can do. Where there's hatred, you show me how kindness can. Where there's fear deep inside, I won't run, I won't hide. I'll give you all of me so that you can see every broken piece and open up my heart. Oh, 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 oh. And love you with my heart.
And that was Whole Heart by Brandon Heath. I'm Gary Zimek coming to you live from Fargo, North Dakota. I'm here leading a parish mission, but I am also with you on Spirit of the Morning. I'm not going to leave you stranded. Today we are joined by our friend Megan Coakley, who is the director for the Office of New Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. She's going to share with us some of the upcoming events taking place in the Archdiocese. Hey, Megan, good morning.
Good morning.
Great to be back with you once again.
Same here. You're in an awesome location.
I am. Guess what, Megan? The weather, the temperature here at the moment is 30 degrees, if you can imagine that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It gets cold here, but
yeah.
It's really cool. It's really cool to see the church in others. You know, I do a lot of traveling leading these parish missions. It's great to see the church in other parts of the country. And it's a reminder, we're all one church.
Amen.
Right. Hey, Megan, I want to ask you about some of the things that are going on, some of the upcoming events. But, you know, I love our discussions sometimes. Before we do that, today's gospel was Martha and Mary. It's one of the most famous gospel stories out there. Mm. It's challenging, isn't it, to do what Mary did, to recognize that we need to spend that quiet time with the Lord. We need to work on that relationship with him. How do you do that in your life? Or do you have any advice for us to be able to find him in the midst of the craziness?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is the very powerful book that was recently published by Robert Cardinal Serra from Africa and from the Congregation for the Liturgy. And it's called The Power of Silence. And it's all the whole book is about silence really being the most powerful thing in the world, because it is the place of encounter with God, and that's where the power comes from. That's where any kind of change or transformation that we're looking for, or any kind of life or healing, it can only come from God. And so if we desire that, then silence is absolutely necessary. And he talks about not just interior silence, but that in order to obtain interior silence, exterior silence is also necessary, which means not talking.
That's hard.
He's kind of real specific, like, okay, we can kind of fool ourselves into thinking, well, I have interior silence, but he actually says, no, in fact, like a quiet room and not talking and not having noise going on is actually of fundamental importance. So, I mean, in my own life, I think I try to be very disciplined about, for example, my work hours. I don't work overtime. I mean, I work extra hours, but then I comp them somewhere else, because I know kind of heart and soul that my prayer life is the source of the effectiveness of my ministry, and that in God's eyes, that's the most important thing and the most effective thing. And so I think number one, experiencing that ourselves in our own hearts and our own prayer life, knowing that our prayer is the most important thing for everybody around us. That if we're filled up with prayer, people receive from that. And if we're not filled up with prayer, they receive nothing. So that is actually a work of charity to be a person of prayer, because then you're pouring out what you've been receiving in prayer. And so once you know that, it helps you to then structure your life accordingly. And so, like, one thing I tell people starting out in ministry in the church, but I think this applies to anybody in any job, is just to be very jealous and guarded about your prayer life. And also, it's going to be the number one thing Satan will go after. So it's not like we can't be lazy about it, actually.
Right.
There has to be a kind of guardedness and vigilance about keeping a regular prayer life and not letting it slack off. Because if once we lose that, we're going to lose everything. I mean, I was just reading an article about this, where if a priest has left his priesthood or a religious woman has started to wane in her faith or, a Catholic falls away from going to Mass, you can always ask them, when did you stop praying? Because it's always people falling away, always. And so we have to be really, anyway, so that I try to be really disciplined about that because it's of utmost importance.
Well, you know, I love when I ask you things like this was a curveball because we had talked. but I see, Megan, I know you're a spiritual person, and I know that I can ask you things like that. And the Holy Spirit told me, go ahead and ask her. but you're right, because we look at that Martha and Mary story.
Yeah.
Martha was doing good things. She was waiting on the Lord. She was serving him. But she lost sight of why she was doing what she was doing. And as he said, she became anxious and worried about things and troubled about things. And without the prayer life, that's what's going to happen. And and that's what's so great about what you do at the Office of New Evangelization. You help people like me to encounter the Lord in a deep way and, you know, bring that encounter into our day-to-day lives.
Mm-hmm.
So what's coming up? You've got some big events coming up.
Yeah, some really big stuff. Well, I mean, so this coming weekend is the big, well, in a sense, the closing of the centennial anniversary of Fatima.
Right.
It's the 100th anniversary of the Miracle of the Sun on Friday, October 13th. And so there will be a holy hour in honor of Our Lady of Fatima at 7 o'clock at the cathedral. And that's really just kind of starting off then this weekend, which will close with the Archbishop consecrating the Archdiocese on Sunday, October 15th at 11 a.m. And so that consecration, I know we talked about it last month, but just really a huge moment. Again, kind of similar to what we just discussed. You know, it's this kind of gesture of prayer, is in a sense a very silent thing. You know, it's not going to have news coverage, and yet it's probably one of the most powerful things that will have happened in our lifetime here. So it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, he's consecrating our archdiocese to Jesus through Mary, right? I mean, essentially that's what's happening?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
absolutely. That's a big deal.
It's a really big deal. It's because God, as we know, he waits for our freedom. He really honors our acts of self-giving, and so he waits for that. And so when we do it, he comes right on in. You know, it's something to look forward to.
And Megan, you know, this means that big things. I mean, great things are happening in our archdiocese right now. But once you get Our Lady working on this, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Well, look out. I mean, amazing things are going to happen.
Envision kind of opening the floodgates, you know, kind of pushing open the dam and just watch the rivers and the torrents of grace come through. I think we'll start to see some really beautiful things happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, we have about 3 minutes left in the segment.
Sure.
Also, I want to make sure we talk about, I hear rumors that there's a sold-out women's conference coming up.
Yes. So the following week, October 21st, we have about 1,200 women coming to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa, and apparently they're barging down the doors because we sold out about 3 weeks ago. It'll be some really phenomenal speakers. I know you guys are going to be there broadcasting live, and so
you know, I would like to think that that's the reason you sold out, but
I think that's
not the reason. I mean, you got some big name speakers: Teresa Tamio, Kelly Walquist, Sarah Christmeyer, Kitty Cleveland. I think is going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Amanda Vernon as well. Yeah, it's going to be. It's a stellar lineup. It's interesting. We sold out the year before as well, so I think some of it is just simply women craving a couple of things. I think to hear what the church has to say about women. I think the shrine is a draw as far as just a place of peace. I think they also just want to be with each other. So I think
the
sisterly bonds really matter, because I think one of the things we struggle with in this time is loneliness, the kind of lack of communion. So I think all around it's just a big draw for women. So pray for us, please.
We all will. We will pray for you. I mean, this is great news, and I can't wait to see what happens next year.
Yes.
right? I mean, after two sellouts in a row, I mean, next year's going to be even more unbelievable.
Yeah, I think so. And I think a couple people have been saying, well, why don't you move to a bigger location? Unfortunately, we actually don't have one.
Wow.
Well, except for, you know, there's a few secular venues, but they are extremely costly. So as far as Catholic venues go, this is probably the biggest we have. So,
So
we hope we just get different women every year. And I think we're going to just continue to be bursting at the seams.
Awesome. Megan, I really want to thank you for joining us each month. I totally enjoy our conversations. Where can we find out more about your work online?
You can go to the office website, which is phillyevange.org.
phillyevange.org. Megan Coakley, thank you so much. It's always great to hang out with you here on Spirit of the Morning.
Same here. Happy travels.
All right. Thank you. God bless you. Megan Coakley.
Bye.
From the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, the Department of New, the Office of New Evangelization. Man, she is doing some great work. Always love these discussions I get to have with Megan because she's obviously somebody who's deeply spiritual, and she gets what it means to have a relationship with the Lord, and she helps us to understand what that relationship is all about and how we can better get to know Him. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse and sum up and reflect a little bit more on this one-year anniversary of Spirit in the Morning. I hope you could stick with us. Grab yourself a cup of coffee, relax, chill out, because we are not done yet. We're going to be here for another 15 minutes or so. Hope you can stay with us as we continue to bring you ways to, that you can grow closer to Jesus Christ. Stay tuned.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit,
Spirit,
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Tell me, Lord, how can it be that you would choose to use someone like me? Someone like me. Couple billion people in this world, yeah, you chosen to use somebody so unworthy. I'm just another pen you're putting to the paper, a reflection of my maker. Write your name on my soul. I'm just another chapter in this story. this song. Make the world want to sing along. From the mountains to the valleys, let my voice be sing a light. Push out the dark, bring in the light. So the whole wide world can see my Savior in me. Oh, my Savior in me. Oh, Savior in me. Oh, Savior. So the whole wide world can see my Savior in me.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was My Savior in Me by Dana Catherine. That's our objective, right? We want people to see the Lord through us today. As you go out in the world, can people see Jesus in you? Sometimes it's not easy, but that's something we can work on. Right now the time is 7:51. Let's do a quick look at the weather right now at the moment at the Philadelphia International Airport. It is 70 degrees. Today we'll have patchy fog before 8 a.m., and then otherwise it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 81. Tonight, partly cloudy with the low around 65. Wednesday, showers likely, high near 75 degrees. Okay, let's take a look at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse today. We're going to the book of the prophet Haggai, chapter 1, verse 6. Here's what the Lord says. You have sown much, but have brought in little. You have eaten, but have not been satisfied. You have drunk, but you have not become intoxicated. You have clothed yourselves, but have not been warmed. And the hired worker labors for a bag full of holes. What is this all about? What is the Lord saying here? He's saying that if we don't do things for Him, if we don't do things in union with Him, then we're going to be doing a lot of work, and we're not going to get any results out of it. So today, the message is, if you're frustrated, if you're struggling, even if it's on the job, ask the Lord for help. Ask Him to help you solve the problems in your life. Sometimes we forget that He wants to help us, and He can help us with any problem that we are facing. Boy, good message. Dave Parker, are you there, my friend? I guess not.
Oh, yeah, I am. Gare, I was in I was in silent prayer.
I don't mean to interrupt you or anything. But,
So is Frank.
We've been hoping he would be in silent prayer for a year now.
I'm not going to go there. I'm trying to be charitable on our first anniversary.
I was just going back to what Megan was talking about. Was it Cardinal Sarah's new book? And yeah, how we need to be very silent in our prayer. But it doesn't work on the radio.
Of course.
No, that's
I was pranking you, brother.
He said he was going to do that, and I was like, you're just giving me a lob to sit there and say we've been praying that you can
sell it. I know, exactly.
Whatever.
You know, guys, by the way, as I told Megan, it actually is 30 degrees at the moment in Fargo. That's kind of hard to believe. Yeah. But it's gone up to 60 today. Mm-hmm. It's funny, I was doing a search of the coldest cities in America. And Dave, You're somebody who knows a lot of facts. Do you know what the coldest city in America might happen to be?
Isn't Bradford, Pennsylvania, is it?
No.
They get very cold. They're in the top, usually in the dead of winter, they can be in the top, compared to cities up where you are, Gare, and maybe in Anchorage.
I'm guessing it's going to be a city in Alaska.
You think?
Exactly. Fairbanks, Alaska.
Fairbanks?
Is the coldest city in America. I mean, this is unbelievable. The average monthly minimum temperature in Fairbanks is -16.9 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the average. That's the average
low. Why is it called Fairbanks? You should be un-Fairbanks because of the weather.
Yeah,
so brutal.
Man, that is brutal.
No, I shouldn't say that. Second, we love you, Fairbanks.
Second is Grand Forks, North Dakota. And believe it or not, third is Fargo, North Dakota.
Oh, okay.
Coldest cities. So apparently it gets really cold out here.
Hey, you know what, Gare? They need Holy Spirit Radio and Spirit in the Morning to warm them up on
these cold winter
mornings.
That's right. You know,
anxious looking.
No, every time I hear Fargo, though, I just think of the movie.
Me too.
It's kind of a challenge.
Yeah.
That's Fargo. Funny. That's exactly what my wife Eileen was saying to me the other day. And I've never seen the movie, but she was saying the same thing.
It's a little bloody.
Yeah. It's kind of surreal.
It's a Coen Brothers. What do you expect?
Yeah, it is. Right. It's a little bizarre.
Yeah. Well,
No, guys, I'm sure there's messages in there.
Before
we go, I mean, I can't let this day go by without just looking ahead. I mean, you look at where we've come in the past year. Can you even imagine, this might be a little scary, where we're going to be a year from now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, we don't know.
As they say, right? No telling. You know.
What we do know is ultimately this show has been, you know, really well done. It feels like a national show. It feels like a show that is needed in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only envision good things.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Ultimately, we know that there's people listening online around the globe, mm-hmm. and you know we're every day reaching new and new people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's continuing to do that. And I mm-hmm. think music has such a beautiful way of reaching into people's hearts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and
it's a universal language.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's finding more into that. It's I think it is capturing mm-hmm. more of those Catholic artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the
mm-hmm.
things I love about this show is, like, you know, that show where we had Teresa Peterson on,
yeah,
mm-hmm. Luke Spihar and Dana Catherine, who mm-hmm. you just heard. You know, there's something special in those.
Mm-hmm.
And when you
Very.
Listen deeply to the words they choose and, you know, the message that they have, mm-hmm. it is a timeless message, but is a mm-hmm. message that we need now.
Yeah. Speaking of Dana Catherine, I had the headset. You know, sometimes we don't always wear the headsets on a break, but I was listening to that song by Dana Catherine, and Frank walks in, and it's like I'm really grooving to it listening to it, getting into a very powerful message mm-hmm. to Frank's point, you know.
And I think there's ways we can find to bring more of that to people and, you know, get people to understand, you know, these connection points in our faith. And also, some of them aren't even always Catholic, but they're just such great words.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so the other piece to it is to celebrate those, too.
Absolutely.
You know, there is good things that are done that may not be Catholic,
absolutely,
but have the Catholic message.
Absolutely.
And Frank, that's a good point. And what we try to do on this show is we play some of the top Christian hits, but when you combine that with these great Catholic guests that we bring on the show,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the overall message is just a great, powerful message. And I know for a fact that we are the only mm-hmm. program doing something this unique. No other Catholic programs are trying this. And it's effective, and I think you're going to start to see more of this because it's very effective in building bridges and drawing people closer mm-hmm. to the Lord and bringing them back to their Catholic faith in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I would just like to, everyone, our faithful listeners, keep listening, pray for us for our second year going forward, not just for this show, but all the shows that are produced locally mm-hmm. and the many local talents that we have on, as well as the network. But keep us in prayer and ask the guidance of the Holy Spirit to take us wherever He wants us to be for Him
yep.
and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hey, Dave and Frank, I want to mention this too before we go off the air. We have, as you said, Frank, you've done tremendous upgrades. We have now a lot of new technological capability that we didn't have a year ago. I want to thank our listeners because they have supported us both with their prayers and financially. So you're the reason we're able to do what we do. So thank you very much. Dave and Frank, I'm going to run right now. Wherever you go today, wherever you are, no matter what situation you find yourself in, the Lord is with you. Just make sure you say hi.
God bless.
Talk to you next time. God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating